All right, we'll go ahead and dive right into it. Can I get somebody to read the first four verses of chapter 12, please?
Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover.
All right. So first of all, who's Herod?
He's the king of Israel.
Yeah, he's the Roman king put in place over Israel, over Judea, right? All right, and then what did he do? What are we introduced here in the first four verses?
He had James killed.
Yeah, he had James killed. And who's James?
An apostle.
One of the 12, brother John.
Yep, one of the 12 apostles. I think this is the first apostle that we've seen actually put to death thus far. And why was he killed? Yes. What? Yeah, I think that's what it was. And now it doesn't say that specifically in the first four verses. But yes, you would think that James being one of the apostles, spreading the good news, would have been a high target at that time. And then, yeah, he was also, it also pleased the Jews after he did that. And so what happened? What did Herod do after that?
Went to get Peter.
Yeah, went to get Peter. Why Peter?
He was forefront. He was a leader. If he could control him,
anything else? All right, and then what time period was this that Peter was arrested?
Passover.
Yeah, it was time of the Passover. All right. Any other comments on the first few verses there? All right, we'll keep on going then. Can I get somebody to read verses 5 through 10, please?
So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Through 10?
Yeah, yep.
And he went out and followed him. He did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left them.
All right. So going back to the beginning of what you just read, thank you, Will. we see that Peter was kept in prison, and then what kind of prayer was offered for Peter, and by whom?
Earnest, by the members.
Yeah. Earnest, mine says constant.
Fervent.
Yeah. And by who?
The members of the church.
Yeah. Yep. Why is that significant? Why does he point that out? Yeah, absolutely.
It was everyone, not just, you know, a few of the other apostles.
Right.
The whole body.
Yeah, it says the church, and so I'm assuming that's every group of believers at that time. All right, and then we see Peter. He's in prison. Describe his condition. How is he bound? What's their security set up for Peter?
It seems like it's the 11th hour.
Like, yeah.
It's about to go down.
Yeah.
And they're not taking any chances with the two chains and guards.
Right.
Inside, past other guards.
Yep. Yeah, so he's bound by two chains. I think it says on his legs, right? Or no, it does not say that.
Two chains, chain to a guard, then you have two other sets of guards.
Yeah. Yep.
So you've got three sets of guards.
Yeah. Very high security. And then what happens? We know it's the night before. Herod is planning to bring him out. What happens? Good.
I just think we should point out that he was sleeping.
Yeah.
That goes to his state of mind.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to say he had faith. He wasn't that concerned. He knew regardless of what happened, the Lord was on his side.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, imagine having enough peace within you to be able to sleep after knowing what had just happened to James and knowing what was probably going to be happening to you any minute now.
And sleeping so soundly that the angel drank him on his side, which is kind of funny when you think about.
Yeah.
The angel could have just like lightly touched him on the shoulder.
Yeah. There was two angel strikes in this chapter, both very different. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So an angel comes, an angel strikes him on the side. What happens next? Yeah, get up, get dressed. What else happens?
Let's go.
Slightly before that.
The chains just fall off.
The chains fall off. What else?
Light.
Yeah, there's a light. There's a light that's shown, right? Which makes sense. I guess it's night. Doesn't say where the light is coming from. It just says a great light had shone. All right. Yep, then he says, put on your garments, follow me. And what's Peter thinking the whole time? This is, yeah, Trenton.
My thought wasn't all that, but I was thinking about, okay, they fell off the noise, like the noise that that's going to make.
Yeah.
Those are usually heavy iron or steel, so it's going to go loud, clattering sound.
Yep, yeah, the noise, evidently there's a discussion going on, right, between the angel and Peter. Like we said, there's a light. Sometimes that will wake you up.
And it says he put on his clothes, so I'm thinking, was he not wearing clothes? Or was his clothes just sitting over there? I'm surprised it would be in the cell with him. I don't know. He says, give it up with his clothes on. So
yeah, I don't know. I guess I thought that he had like a coat or something with him and potentially some shoes that were probably removed and maybe in his cell still. Maybe. Chris?
I guess that goes to the point that was made earlier. I mean, how comfortable are you when you're at home? You know, you sleep in your clothes and, you know, when you're at home.
Sure.
Typically, if I was in prison,
yeah.
Say, oh, I'm not taking off anything. I'm going to sleep with everything on. You know, because I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
If you're out of your clothes and whatever you was doing, however you was dressed.
Yeah. That's a great point. All right. And so, yeah, what was Peter's state of mind when all of this is happening? What's he thinking to himself?
This isn't real. I mean, he believes in God, but because a little bit later it says when Peter came to himself, like when he realized what was happening, to be able to walk right through the guards and the guards not even see him.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird fantasy, almost.
Right.
But he was, I mean, obviously he was leaving, the gates open for them all on their own accord?
Yeah, it says that he did not know it was real in verse 9. And he thought he was seeing a vision. He had seen a vision before, a couple chapters ago, right?
Another vision.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah. Yep. Where's the question? What does this mean? Yeah. All right. And then they came to the first and the second guard posts. So again, just emphasizing that there was a lot of security. There was a lot of things to get past. I think it would have been one thing to say that he somehow managed to get out of his shackles on his own accord. But to do that and then pass all of these guard posts just points more and more to the fact that there was an angel there actually helping him with that. All right, any more comments, questions on those verses? All right. Can I get somebody to read verses 11 through 15, please?
Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind," but she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It's his angel."
All right. So Peter gets out. The angel departs from him. Kind of takes him a minute to collect himself. Verse 11 says, when Peter had come to himself, he understands what had happened. And then where does he go? Okay, yeah, to a Christian's home. Specifically who?
Mary.
Yeah, to Mary's house. Who's Mary? Yeah, the mother of John Mark. All right, and who's John Mark?
We're going to see him coming up, going with Barnabas.
Yeah, I think this is the first time we're introduced to him in the book of Acts. But keep his name in mind. We're going to see him at the end of this chapter, and then also in chapter 15, and I think a couple other chapters later on as well. All right, and then what else transpires here? So he comes to the house, he knocks on it.
There's a lot of them there, they were praying. They were part of the group who were praying for his safety or whatever.
Yeah, it's nighttime, and we know that there's a bunch of people together praying. What do you think they're praying about?
Praying about Peter, that we saw in verse 5, that the whole church was praying for Peter. This is him.
Yeah.
He's part of the...
Yeah, so imagine you're in this woman's house, right? There's a bunch of them together. It doesn't say how many, but there's a bunch of like-minded believers together praying for Peter, and then lo and behold, this guy who you just saw captured after one of the other apostles got killed by the sword is at the door. So Rhoda meets him at the door, and what does she do?
Kind of funny that he came there seeking refuge. She recognized him and took off, leaving him outside.
Yeah.
She didn't open the door for him or welcome him, but maybe she wasn't supposed to. Maybe that wasn't her job. But she was so excited that she ran back in and said, "Peter's here."
Yeah, yeah. I think that's so funny. I don't know about you guys, if you've ever played hide and seek with like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, somebody with a very short attention span. You think you've got this great hiding spot. They're looking for you, and all of a sudden a friend comes by or their favorite show comes on and hide and seek is just done and you haven't been notified yet. You're just still in your hiding spot waiting for them to come seek you. So I think of that when I read this. I think it's funny. Trent? Yeah. Yeah. Why don't they believe her? Yeah, he's in prison. Yeah. And not just prison, pretty high security, right? Yeah, so they said it is his angel. Why do they say that?
So what I read was that nobody knows for sure, but there was some speculation that the Jewish people believed in guardian angels. And so there was some who said that may have been what they were referring to was no, it's just a guardian angel.
Yeah.
They in their human mind were like, no, that's not what I think is to happen. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris?
You're praying about this, right? And then, so in your mind, he's there. I'm praying for him to get out of this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's almost like I'm praying for somebody to be healed or to be better. And we know that they're at the hospital, and it's evident.
Yeah.
And yet you hear a knock at the door, and there they are.
And then it actually happens and you don't believe it.
Incubated and everything, and all of a sudden you see them. So
yeah.
It's like, I'm just praying for this, and all of a sudden, here it is. This can't be real. This has to be something else.
Yeah. Sonny?
I think when we read this story, the question is, what is this spiritual application? Peter being thrown in prison is similar to somebody who's not a child of God. They are imprisoned by Satan. And Satan is going to do everything within his power to keep them under bondage. So when the angel told Peter to put on his clothes, it's like when you go to gospel, you put on Christ. You're not a new person. You are free under the tutelage, under the bondage of Satan. You become a new person. And so this is the spiritual application Satan is going to do whatever under his power to keep people under sin, so that you can escape. But once you escape, you now put on Christ, you now become a new person. And so you now become a child of God. This is what I see when I look at Peter being in jail, being released from jail through the prayers of the saints. So we need to pray for every child, every daughter, every son who's not a child of God, so that they can obey the gospel and become a child of God.
Right, that's good, thank you.
I see the members of the congregation here praying a little bit different. Their faith is obviously very strong,
right?
Because it brought this about.
Yeah.
Their prayer caused this.
Yeah.
I think that it's more of that we invent things in our minds. Like, we put stories in our heads for things that we don't know the ending of or the whole story.
Yep.
And so I put myself in their shoe, and I think I'm praying and I'm saying, you know, he's going to get pardoned at the last minute. Something's going to happen like that.
Yeah.
So they may not, they have faith that God's going to help, but we don't know how God's going to help.
And yeah.
What's the path that's going to get to the end of whatever we're praying about?
Yep.
You know, it's the thing about asking for patience, and you rarely get tried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, God certainly can answer prayers in ways that we don't expect, right? Yeah. Good. Any other comments on that? All right. And then also speaking to that, James just got killed, presumably for his faith. And the response to that, as Christians in this early church, wasn't to huddle down for a little while and let's all just stay in our own homes and maybe not meet. Let's just kind of lay low for a while. No, instead the response was to all get together and meet in Martha's house and do the very thing that they were being persecuted for, right? So I just think that speaks to the courage that those people had as well. All right. We are moving quick. Let's go ahead and read verses 16 through 19, please. Can I get a volunteer?
Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go and tell these things to James and the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And they went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there.
All right, so Rhoda meets Peter, gets excited, goes off and tells others, so Peter just stays there and continues knocking, I assume, in verse 16. So finally someone comes, they open the door, and then what's their reaction when they see him?
They're astonished.
Yeah, they're astonished. And what does Peter instantly do? After they open the door, they're astonished, what does he do? Do what? Yeah, yeah. It says that he motions to them with his hand. So not entirely sure what that looks like, but motion to them with his hand, says keep silent. And then it says he declared to them how the Lord brought him out of the prison. Why does he do that?
I would say there's two reasons why he spent time to share that with
him. Yep. Agree. Sonny?
Why did God allow James to be killed and Peter to be rescued? Does that mean God did not answer the prayers of the saints?
Yeah. You want to answer that?
Yes. They always answer, sometimes the answer's no.
Recognize what he had done, and there's a reward waiting for him. And so I think that's the thing we have to remember. Sometimes what we determine is good versus what God determines is good are two independent things, and they don't always coincide. But what God wants to happen is always good.
Right.
And to add to that, adversity can bring about two types of outcome. One, it can bring you closer to God, or two, it can drive you away from God. And that is going to depend on your faith before adversity happens. And so if your faith is weak right from the beginning, a good chance it's not going to make you get closer to God. But if your faith is strong, no matter what the adversity is, it's going to bring you closer to God. And the question is this, you have to examine yourself, how strong is your faith? And I've always believed that Christians suffer not because of the things that they have done, but we can suffer because of the environment that we find ourselves. And so it is very, very important that our faith remains strong and that we do those things that Christ has required of us. If our faith is not strong, if it's not built up on the rock, a good chance is when adversity comes, it's going to drive us away from God.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Now it says that Peter told them to go tell these things to who?
James, who I thought was dead.
Yeah. So
he didn't know about this, obviously.
Yeah.
Which was kind of strange to me that he didn't know, because he when James was killed, the Jews were excited, they were ecstatic. You think maybe Peter might have heard that, but evidently.
So I think this is a different James. Go ahead.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Probably James, the brother of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to go look at this, but Mark chapter 6, the first three verses, kind of speaks to who Jesus' family was. And so you see his brothers listed out there, James being one of those. I can't say for certain that this is that exact same James. But it's implied that this is a different James at the very least. Yeah.
As close as Peter, James, and John were, I'm pretty sure that Peter would have known that James was dead.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of time there. So.
Right. Well, you get the idea that they were in the same area, yeah. And then also Peter was brought in because of the reaction of the Jewish people to the killing of James. So, yeah, I think it's heavily implied that this is a different James. It sounds like he was in the area and people knew of him to go tell him. All right. And we read through 19 just now, right? So,
When he said go tell the people, everybody essentially in the churches in that area knew that Peter was in prison.
Right.
Now he's not.
Yeah.
This is a confirmation of God's will for the people of the church in that area especially.
Yep.
That God's going to take care of us. Yep. Not everybody, like James obviously didn't fare as well as Peter did.
Right.
But it's giving the other people an encouragement that, hey, your prayers helped, we're out, and this is to give you more faith.
Yeah, well, they had been praying for him. They needed some follow-up to know that he was safe and sound and that their prayers had been answered. Yep. All right. So verse 18 says, my translation says, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. How do you think that looked? Right? They had all the security. They had him in chains. They had two guards next to him. They had multiple gates to get through. And they were commanded by the king, right? This is Herod telling them to hold on to this guy. And he's just escaped. His shackles are still there. Everybody's still there. there's multiple guards that he got past, and none of them have any idea how that happened. So you can just imagine how terrified they would have been. It doesn't give us a lot of details as far as what they were actually doing during the escape. But you have to think that the angel's hand was in that as well.
In that version, it uses the word stir. In some versions, it uses the word, which I think is a little more accurate, as a disturbance.
Yeah.
People were disturbed.
Yep.
Chaos.
Yeah, so then Herod searches for him, doesn't find him, examines the guards, and then what's his order for the guards? Yeah. To have him killed. Was it the guards' fault? Should they have been killed? Yeah.
Was that a normal consequence if you lost a prisoner? Yeah. Or even, I've read somewhere that even the king would suffer certain consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think this is normal. And go ahead, Trent.
Think about this from Herod's point. In the only way that this same thing that Herod would do, I think he's probably a Roman. So, the evidence really, if you think of it, you're probably thinking, okay, the reason for execution besides that is high treason, because the only reason that you would get out of here is if they betrayed him and they let Peter go.
Right.
The only reason I bet you Herod could see.
Or they were just really incompetent. Yeah. But yes, I think it was normal to be executed if you were a guard in that situation. But I think there's one example that we don't see that happening in the scriptures. What is that? Okay. I don't think so. Not the one I had in mind.
Well, we're not sure what happened to the Philippian jailer after he was baptized.
Yeah, so
he was converted, but after that, we're not sure what happened to him.
Right. So I'm thinking of the guards that...
He was
going to
kill himself because...
Yeah, he was
going to
kill himself.
They were going to kill him because he had gotten free. So he was like,
okay, Chris?
Here's a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, all the mysterious breakouts. Yeah. Yeah. Ruth. I am. Yep. Yeah. So you think about Christ's tomb, right? They said that he was going to rise in 3 days, and so they put a guard on his tomb. And when Jesus escaped, I think that was the one instance where those guards were not killed. Keith.
So, again, this is very damaging to his power.
Yep.
You know, people look to him as a leader, and if they see their weakness, you know, this could have serious consequences for him as a leader.
Yep.
And yet he continues to try and address these things, and he can't control the situation.
Right.
And so what happens when a leader is seen that they can't control the situation is they lose the confidence of their people.
Yep.
Very serious consequences for him personally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think even
Sure, yeah.
For what lies in his future.
Yep. Yeah, and then from there we see what comes from that and the anger that he clearly has. Can somebody read verses 20 through 24? Tell you what, I'll read that. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. All right, so we see that he is angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Does anybody know why that is?
They were extremely important port cities and held a lot of, that commerce was something that really had to be guarded. And that's the reason for bringing in Blastus, because he was, they were puffing, the people were puffing up Herod at this point.
Mm-hmm.
To seek favor in his decisions on the commerce force.
Right. Yeah. I don't actually know why he's upset at them. But it tells us that he's upset. So he's upset with the people. What do they do to change that? What do the people of Tyre and Sidon do? What? I can't hear you. Yeah. It says they come together. I think it says of one accord. They are on good terms, right, with Blastus, who's close to the king. I think they use that leverage there. They ask for peace. And then it says, because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. Why does it point that out here? And Bill, I know you're alluding to that. Is there any significance in that? Yeah.
It'd be a really bad situation because their food comes from.
Yeah. So here's a thought that I had, and this is pure speculation. I could definitely be wrong about this. But in the previous chapter, 11, at the end of that, it says many prophets were coming into Jerusalem, and they were talking about this great famine that was going to come. And so if there's multiple prophets coming in and saying, hey, there's going to be a famine, and you're in this land, and you're receiving all this food from the king's country, I'd think I'd be stocking that up if I believed those prophets. Again, that's my own speculation, but I think they could be really worried about getting cut off when all these prophets are coming in and telling them there's going to be a famine. Ruth? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It also shows that all he had to do was to give God the glory.
Yep.
That's all he had to do. So it doesn't matter where you are in his life, even if you're even the people who are not Christians,
yep.
And they say that it's a good thing because they recognize there is a God, there's a lot of people do. More and more people are running away from.
Yep. Can you think of another instance where someone gave people food or water and failed to give God that glory? In the Old Testament? Yeah, Moses and the rock, right? Yeah.
The only other thing I would say is verse 21, it says, and upon a set day, Herod. So I think the other important thing to remember is who likely set the day? Herod did, right?
Yeah.
And so what was the purpose? It was the purpose of celebrating me.
Yep.
Right? That's Herod. So
yep.
To some extent, yeah, the people are, you know, definitely there to, you know, shout out, he's God, he's, you know.
Yep.
But remember, Herod set this up himself as a day where the expectation was the people come to celebrate me,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you just see his pride as a leader.
Yep.
Just continuing to be out in front of him.
Right. Yeah, and so, again, we see an angel come. I think it's funny that the angel also strikes him, probably a little different than the way he struck Peter at the beginning. But he gets struck. He gets worms. I've read maggots before. Either way, Herod dies. And then the very next verse says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And then the very last verse, you see Barnabas, Saul, return from Jerusalem, and they also bring with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we'll see him again later on in the book of Acts. So I think that was both bells. So thank you all for your comments, and go ahead and read chapter 13 for Wednesday. Thank you.